back to
Dillard and Libs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right. We'll throw a little bit of a curveball at you, but not the one that you're worried about, because Grant Cosell doesn't even know the anticipation sensation that is taking place right now.
Oh, boy. I'm nervous.
And so the senior producer of NFL Films is here and is standing by on the River Islands guest line.
He's here?
Yeah, he's here right now.
And he's him.
Now, the Warrior thing, we're going to tell you about in a little bit. We'll tell you about that in a little bit. And again, Jeff Schwartz, former chief, current Fox analyst, and Bay Area guy, and former Duck, Grandy loves that, he joins us in an hour, okay? So that's what's around the corner. We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube, so if you want to look at Dibs Shake, twitch.tv/957thegame, youtube.com/957thegame. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Hello, Greg Cosell. How are you?
I'm doing great. Is there a big game this weekend?
Well, we heard about one, yeah. And actually, why don't we go there? Like, what do you gather on film from previous matchups that you think is applicable to this one?
Well, I would answer that by saying that coaches tend to coach against coaches. That's the way the league works. The most important people on the side of a ball are the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. And obviously there's certain players that always have to be accounted for. But these are two, like, let's say you're looking at Kyle Shanahan and his offense versus Spags and his defense. You pretty much know what you're going to get. Now, are there tweaks? Are there little adjustments? Yes. But there's not going to be dramatic changes in how these two coaches coach against each other. So, you know, that's kind of the way it works in the league. You don't win games because you do things that are gimmicky, or you totally change how you go about the way you play. I mean, this is a tough match. You could argue it's a tough matchup on both sides.
Yeah, I get that. So if it is sort of the tendencies of one coach against the tendencies of another coach, sort of, I guess I would take that answer and then apply it to the games that we've seen recently. Like, who kind of did what that was effective as far as that scheme and game planning in recent matchups?
Well, Spags is a press man guy. He wants his corners to play press. If you remember in the Super Bowl, they did that effectively. Now, he had one of the two or three best press corners in the league in L'Jarius Sneed, who's not there. Now, he will still play press because that's his belief. But Sneed is one of the best in the league, so you're playing probably with a lesser talent at the position, but that won't change how he plays. He's very selective, but extremely effective with his pressure concepts. He's really good with overload concepts, and sometimes he'll show an overload to one side and you protect to that side, but then he brings the overload from the other side. So situationally, you have to be very aware of specific pressures. He uses his defensive backs as well as anybody in the NFL in his pressure schemes, both corners and safeties. He has someone who's kind of a new player this year. He was on the team last year and did play, but he's become critical this year, number 27, Chamari Connor, who's a really, really important piece, particularly in their dime, their six defensive back package. He's a really good blitzer.
How does this match up with Brock Purdy and the Niners offense as far as going up against man concepts? Has Brock been effective going up against man?
Well, it's not so much Brock. When you're playing against man, then your receivers have to give you a place to throw the football, because quarterbacks have to throw the football versus man coverage. If your receivers can't give you a place to throw the ball, you don't need a new quarterback. You need new receivers. That's kind of the way man coverage works. So now it also comes down to the tactics and the schematics you use to attack man coverage. There's ways to do that. You can do stacks. You can do bunch. You can do motion, of which the Niners are high percentage motion team. There's ways to try to create free access off the ball so that press man does not inhibit your ability to run your pass game.
Greg Cosell with us, Willard and Dibbs, as he is every single week, normally on Wednesday with our special event yesterday. We're doing it today as we get ready for the weekend. So, Greg, a lot of talk about the aggressiveness and the blitzing nature from Steve Spagnuolo, who was talking earlier today about how well Brock Purdy does against the blitz. So I'd love your insight on that. Like, what does Spagnuolo usually like to do with the blitz? And what do you usually see Brock Purdy do in terms of the way he handles that?
Yeah, well, we just talked a little bit about how Spags loves to use his DBs, and you have to be aware of that. And I think one reason why Purdy is good against the blitz is because he is really good both pre-snap and post-snap at recognizing what's going on. One of the things that has so stood out in his career and that you didn't really see in college because the college game is not like that is his ability to recognize disguise and late coverage rotation. He recognizes it intuitively, and he knows exactly where to go with the ball. So normally, and he's done this a little more the last couple of weeks, and I'm very curious in this game, normally you don't see Brock Purdy get stuck in the pocket, but the last couple of weeks he has, and I would have to be in his head to know the answer to that, and that's why we've seen him run a little more and scramble a little more the last couple of weeks instead of delivering the football. This is a game to me where he's going to have to hit that back foot and deliver the football. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be any plays in which he moves, but I don't think that can be the way in which he plays.
Yeah, and that's going to be something that he's had to adjust to. He's done a lot of scrambling this year, and I'm wondering about the other side and the Kansas City offense, Greg, because I look at a team that is markedly different than they were a few years ago, doing a lot of two and three tight end sets. Is this a byproduct of what you see on film of personnel, or is it just something that they've gone to because they have good tight ends?
Well, the Chiefs have been a very high percentage of multiple tight end offense going back probably 2 years. So this might be the third year in which they're doing that. So this is not something, you know, that they've just started a week or so ago. This is the way they play. And because of Kelce, who essentially, in the way he can be deployed within the formation, he's essentially a wide receiver. So they do play a lot with two tight ends and three tight ends. So the question is, because they've become much more of a running team over the last, really going back to last year, is how do you deploy your personnel defensively to defend that? Do you play base, in which case, you're playing essentially to play the run game, or do you play nickel because the pass game is still your most important concern, and this way you might have some deficiencies in your run defense.
Greg, you've expressed on our show the last few weeks some intrigue in Renardo Green. So before we get too deep into Chiefs Niners, I don't want to forget the game that was a week ago and get your reaction on some of those performances. The youth in the secondary for the 49ers, Malik Mustafa Green with the wonderful interception that kind of clinched the game.
Yeah, it was a great play.
Yeah, what did you see on film from those players?
I would say that the safety from Wake Forest, Mustafa, he's at his best when he can be closer to the line of scrimmage or play downhill. He's probably not a true deep safety as a post safety, which they asked Hufanga to do that quite a bit, particularly when they played man coverage, because obviously they don't have Gibson anymore, but when they played cover one man coverage with a deep safety, Gibson was almost always the tight end matchup against 11 personnel, three wide receivers and a tight end, and Hufanga was the post safety. I'm not sure Mustafa is quite ready to fill that role, so it'll be interesting to see what they do. But Green, I think Green played well. I like Green. They don't play a ton of press man, but I thought he held up really, really well. I didn't think there was a problem with him at all. So we'll see. I mean, I guess is Ward going to play this week?
They're hoping, yeah.
Yeah,
he's trending
that way. It's trending that way, but yeah, we don't have anything official yet.
Yeah, I mean, his interception, I actually thought that Metcalf kind of angled his route too far vertically, and he shouldn't have, but Green still undercut it and made a great play.
And you look at this matchup, as you mentioned, two tight ends and even three at times, and the 49ers with one good linebacker, and then Devondre Campbell better against the run than he is against the pass. Would you anticipate the Niners going to more nickel coverage to try to offset the linebackers not having an advantage against the Chiefs' tight ends?
Well, that's going to be interesting. I mean, that's a decision that Nick Sorensen and staff have to make, is how they want to play against multiple tight ends. Will they play in their base and put Flanagan Foles out there? Will they stay nickel and it just be Warner and Campbell? You know, that becomes the starting point for how you play, because you do different things tactically when you play in your base, 4-3, versus when you play in your 4-2 nickel. So that's the starting point. I can't answer what they will do, but they're going to have, in their mind, an answer for that. And some of that depends on down and distance. Some of it depends on field location. Some of it depends on how the game is flowing. You know, there's many factors that go into how you decide to play.
You've been impressed this year with Jordan Mason. He is practicing this week, but in a non-contact jersey. So the popular thought is at best, he's going to be out there, but we are going to see some of Isaac Guerrero, who popped in that game a week ago. I wonder what you saw from Isaac on film and what your reaction was.
Yeah, Isaac is kind of a one, to me, he's kind of a downhill back. You know, he's incredibly fast, straight line. He's not particularly loose-hipped and shifty. In some ways, he's a lesser case Mason in terms of how he runs. Mason is shiftier, but you wouldn't call Mason extremely shifty, where Guerrero is even less so. He's a little stiff, but he's very fast. You know, to me, he's kind of probably a zone type runner. You want to get him with that one cut, let him go, and hopefully he can hit the hole. You know, he's got really good size, but, you know, I think one reason he was drafted where he was, and he started at Wisconsin and then he ended at Louisville, and he never truly became a feature back in college, is because there are limitations to him, even though he's straight line fast.
The Chiefs very good against the run. What do you see from their front seven that makes it so difficult to run against them?
Good players.
That helps, huh?
Yeah. Well, we know about Chris Jones, but they've got a lot of other good players on that defensive front. You know, obviously everybody's going to talk about Chris Jones, and deservedly so, but not as a really good run defender. They've gotten really good snaps from Tershawn Wharton. Michael Dana is I can tell you for a fact that he's one of Spag's favorite players. Drew Tranquil is a really good player. We know about Nick Bolton. You know, Bolton and Jones are probably the guys that most people know about. Leo Chenal, another Wisconsin player, is really versatile in how he can be deployed. So they've got a lot of really good pieces in that front group, and versatile players who can do a lot of things. So it's a combination of good players really schemed well.
Greg, this might sound like a silly person to ask about, but I would love your perspective, because for those who just kind of scan the league, you're looking at Patrick Mahomes' stats, and they don't like stack up to what he used to do. And this team is a little bit more based on its defense than it used to be early in his career.
And the run game.
Yeah, so like, just what is your assessment of the evolution of Mahomes? Is he still playing as well, or how is it different?
Well, every year is a different year, and we're not going to debate whether Mahomes is great. He's got three Super Bowls,
right.
So that's not the point of what I'm going to say, but every year is different. So right now, through the early part of this season, the Chiefs passing game has lacked any kind of real rhythmic feel to it. You see very few plays in which Mahomes hits his plant foot and delivers the ball with a sense of timing. That's been an issue throughout the season. Mahomes has really not been a comfortable player. Now, some people will automatically say that's a function of the receivers. It could be. We're not in his head. But there are plays in every game in which Mahomes breaks down in the pocket prematurely and moves unnecessarily. But we know that off-schedule movement with outstanding vision is a definite strength of his game. So he's always dangerous. But he hasn't really played consistent football this year. I mean, there was a play in the last game that they played, because they're coming off a bye, where he had Worthy wide open on a deep over route on third down, and he looked right at him from a clean pocket, didn't throw it, and ended up leaving the pocket, and then he ran for 7 yards and a first down. So I don't know how the coaching staff deals with that. They probably say, good play, Patrick. But it would have been a long touchdown a worthy if he had just thrown the ball. So, you know, that's where his game is right now. And again, people listening to this, you know, they're going to say, well, you don't like Mahomes. No, we know what Mahomes is. You know, he's a great player. But this is a different year, and he's not playing to his level right now.
And we actually saw Mahomes line up as a tailback when you went to a pistol look with Travis Kelce getting the snap and running a little read option to Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, Andy does all that kind of stuff. But just as a final point about Mahomes, he can be great, and he could come out this week and be phenomenal. We know that. You know, he's always dangerous. He could be phenomenal. Maybe this will be the best game of his season, and he goes 30 for 40 for 450, and, you know, he's great. You know, he's obviously capable of that any given week. But I'm just telling you what the tape has shown this year up to this point.
And you look at the tape, and what you see, Greg, is it that they don't really need him to be phenomenal this year because of the way that they're scheming up a lot of passes near or behind the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, they are. They are. They throw a lot of balls near and near. You've hit that right on the head. They haven't really had any kind of consistent intermediate or passing game. Vertical is different because, you know, you can't live or die with deep down the field throws. But they really haven't had kind of a short to intermediate passing game with any consistency this year. They've really become a running team to some degree. I mean, in some ways, and this is a weird thing to say, and Mahomes is certainly not going to, you know, he doesn't really hurt you, obviously, but they've become a running team and a team built on defense. And as long as Mahomes can be efficient, if not great, they're a really good football team. Their defense is really good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You've mentioned a few times about like this sort of renewed focus on the run game, which is interesting because they don't have their lead running back. And Kareem Hunt wasn't even playing 3 weeks ago, and now he's their lead back. What do you see from him on film specifically compared to who he used to be?
Well, he's kind of the same guy. He's a very physical inside runner. He gets hard yards. The last game they played when he was 27 for 105 was very representative of that. He gets hard, tough yards inside. He's not an explosive back. I mean, obviously, if he gets a big hole, sure. But I mean, in terms of just his normal way of running, he's not necessarily explosive, but he's physical, he's tough. You know, runs that are blocked for three, he gets six or seven. That's the kind of runner he is, and that allows them to stay on schedule and make it tougher on defenses.
When you look at the Niners on film, defensively against the run, looked like they were improved against Seattle last weekend. Are you seeing the scheme and the personnel start to match up where this defense is starting to play better?
Yeah, so I mean, it's always hard for me to discuss the specifics of a scheme because they're essentially a four down front, and I know that every coach has specific tweaks and specific things that they ask of their players, which obviously I don't know. I'm not in their meetings, but they do have good people up front. I think Givens has really come in and done a very nice job as replacing Hargrave, and we know about the other players, so it's just. I would say that the Chiefs' O-line particularly the three interior guys, can be very, very good any given week. You know, the center, Humphrey's really good. Then the two guards, Thuney and Trey Smith. Thuney is getting up there in age, and he's not what he was 3 or 4 years ago. But Trey Smith, particularly in the run game, can be absolutely dominant. I got a chance to meet and talk with him this summer, actually. And he's a big man who does not look the least bit heavy. I mean, he looks like a freaking athlete.
Greg Cosell with us every single week right here on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Greg, because you just brought up the name Hargrave, I want to sort of pass along a question that I think a lot of our listeners and 49ers fans have, because Hargrave is known for an interior lineman as being better against the pass than the rush.
That is correct.
Okay, so with him out, they suddenly had a really good game kind of bottling up Kenneth Walker, and so people are like, gosh, did the Niners just get better against the run because he's out? How would you respond to a fan who says that?
I would respond with the fact that the interior three of the Seahawks are way below the quality of the interior three of the Chiefs, which doesn't mean that the 49ers can't play the run well this week, but they're playing against a different animal this week. So we almost have to wait and see. They're going to have to stop the run, but using the last game as a foundation or basis for what we think might happen this week is not really realistic. Those three interior guys for the Chiefs that I mentioned, Thuney, Humphrey, and Smith, are far better than the interior three of the Seahawks.
And similarly, you look at the tackles of the Chiefs, and that seems to be a point of vulnerability, and you saw Nick Bosa last week move from side to side and rush on the right tackle and the left tackle. Would you expect, having seen the film last week, that Nick Bosa might be able to feast a little bit against these two tackles?
Yeah, I would expect to see him. Again, nothing's 100%, right, but I would expect to see him at right defensive end a bit in this game, working against Wanya Morris, the left tackle, the second-year left tackle for the Chiefs, who's won that job over the rookie. They were starting a rookie from BYU, Sumatea, but now Wanya Morris, who's very, very physically gifted, by the way, but there's still a lot of concerns with his pass protection, and he's the starting left tackle now for the Chiefs. So I would expect to see Bosa get some opportunity against him.
Greg, you mentioned earlier that the Chiefs had success in the Super Bowl with their press coverage, but they had Snead and they don't have him anymore. In general, from the 49ers receivers, historically on tape, how do they handle that kind of coverage, what Spagnuolo loves to do?
I think it's probably up and down. You know, press is hard. Not every team does it, and not every team does it well, so you don't necessarily see it every single week. The Chiefs are masters at it. It's what Spags believes in. I mean, I can remember plays in the Super Bowl, critical plays, where they pressed really effectively, and it impacted in a negative way the passing game. So now you have to decide, if you're Kyle, you know this. So now how do you put together your offense? Now, are there going to be some plays where you just have to line up and play, and your guy has to win? There's always those plays in games. But there's also tactics, as we spoke about earlier in this conversation, that you can use to minimize the impact of that press coverage.
When you look at the Niners receivers between Juwan Jennings and Debo and Brandon Ayuk, who is the best man beater of the trio?
That's a great question. That's a tough one. I mean, I've seen Ayuk, win off the ball numerous times because he's got some quickness and some lateral quickness to him. Debo is more physical, and Jennings is more physical. So they're different players. I can remember in the Super Bowl where Snead matched up to Samuel in some critical situations, and he did a really good job against him in press. So, press sometimes can be hard. We'll see. But they're going to get it. The question now, that is one of the critical pieces in this game.
Greg, Steve Spagnuolo earlier today said he can't find a weakness in Brock Purdy. We know coaches always praise the opposing players. I wonder how you would answer that. What do you see? Do you see any weaknesses, or what is the weakest part of Brock Purdy's game?
I would say, in a strict sense, there's not a glaring weakness to Brock Purdy's game. I would say that, you know, obviously there are times on certain throws if he has to just sit on his back foot in the pocket. Like the touchdown he threw to Samuel against the Seahawks, the long one, he had to kind of sit on his back foot and throw it late, and that ball hung up a little. You know, he's not a power thrower, but normally the nature of this offense doesn't ask him to make those kinds of throws. The offense is so timing-based. So does he have a weakness in a strict sense? No, he does not have a weakness in a strict sense, but he's not a power thrower, so sometimes, on occasion, a deeper ball might hang a little bit.
Greg, just phenomenal stuff, and with the size of this game on Sunday, we are already looking forward to 6 days from now and breaking it down with you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
There he goes. Now, the first thing I'm going to say is that, because this is a big moment on this show now.
Big.
All right, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I don't know if I've ever seen a better comeback victory in all of my years of watching sports.
Thank you.
I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that in my life. I mean, it started subtly where he complimented an observation. For you to get a pause and then a great question followed by a tough question.
Yeah, boy.
All within 5 seconds of each other. Had to be one of the highlights of your career.
No doubt. 27 years in, and that is in the top 10. It might be on the Rushmore. And you saw me in real time. There were tears.
I didn't see you in real time because I was freaking out. I was shaking over here. And I had nothing to do with it.
This may be my finest hour as an amateur film analyst.
You just did what the Niners need to do.
Big time.
Step into a big moment and freaking perform.
Let's go.
All right. By the way, you want to hear what Spagnuolo said about Purdy?
Sure.
It's pretty freaking interesting.
I'm on like cloud 30 right now.
You don't care. You want to do the rest of the show by yourself?
Kinda.
All right, I'm out. Willard and Dibs.